That's another reason that we've hired people. There's something that I realize I'm not an expert in. I know it's really important for the business, but I don't have time to learn that new skill. And so could we hire someone who they've already learned these lessons?
Hello, I'm Vivian Kay, and thanks for joining me on this episode of Business Class, Builder Braver, a podcast by American Express. If this is your first time, here's what to expect. In every episode, we introduce you to a different small business owner. That's someone who's trying to do it all. Then we tap into the experiences of another notable Canadian entrepreneur, someone who can offer firsthand insight into challenges of running a business. Things like managing your cash flow, telling your brand story, sourcing capital, and of course, growing your business. In this episode, we're focusing specifically on scaling up and building a strong team. We'll call it scaling and staffing. It has a nice ring to it, don't you think? Scaling and staffing are challenges that go hand in hand, even though many entrepreneurs try to isolate them. To be clear, scaling up is the next phase in your business when you've achieved some impressive success already, and you're now ready to take that next step. So, how do you identify the methods needed to scale up? What are some tried and tested strategies? These are some of the questions that we'll be tackling in this episode. To help us fully explore this, we'll be bringing on two Canadian entrepreneurs, each well-respected in their industries. Our first guest is an artist and creative director who's built a unique art and housewares business. He brings his talent and pop art-infused sensibility to his online retail space. Our second guest is from a totally different industry, but has addressed similar challenges of scaling and staffing. She's scaled up her own software company, and she's made it her business to help other businesses find the right people for the right job. So yeah, what do a famous housewares designer and established construction industry software maven have in common? Scaling up. That's what. I can't wait to get into it with these two and to share my personal takeaway on scaling and staffing with you. So make sure to keep listening. Let's get started. Toronto-born multidisciplinary artist Sean Brown has dedicated his career to seeking meaning through process. He's the creative genius behind Curves by Sean Brown, an expansive line of unique contemporary homeware and everyday objects. He has a signature collection of these incredible, colorful, and handmade CD-shaped rugs. Remember CDs? Curves by Sean Brown is getting featured in high-profile design magazines and on mainstream media channels. Basically, the man is making waves. Sean, welcome to Build It Braver.
Thank you for having me.
How does your ongoing artistic practice inform your vision for the company?
I think that it's rooted in historical references. I know people use the term nostalgia a lot to define it, but I think what I'm actually trying to express, or the process that matters most to me, is the approach that used to be taken back in the day, you know,
back in the day
before like the huge information age. Like, I just think the way media was created, I think things like content, I've been paying attention to that word a lot because I think that's such like a new thing. So I just don't want the word content to take place of the word art. You know what I'm saying? And so my approach to what we do with Creative with the company is rooted in that, taking cues from what happened in movies, art, film, music, all these things, but to create in the same way. Like, how can we recontextualize? How can we reimagine something? Just not losing sight of that approach to create as though we didn't have the internet,
right?
But in the internet age, you know?
So how do you balance these two sides of yourself? So you've got the creative side and the business owner. How do you balance that?
Knowing what I'm good at and what I'm not good at, you know? I can ideate. I know how something should look, feel. I have like vision, but I think this has been the first time in my creative career where things are actually working because there are people around me who are experts at what they do. And if everyone is left to their strengths in a team environment, I believe that a company will just thrive by default.
Sean, let's talk about your business growth here. Staffing and delegating duties are a few of the critical decisions that a business owner must make, but you should first have a team. So how does the size of your team affect your structure? And what are some of the roles within that structure?
That's a really good question. Well, I think that's like two-sided. I think that there would have to be a decision as to whether you're going to do things on your own initially and grow and learn and make mistakes, or whether you're going to make these mistakes or grow and learn on someone else's dime. I think that we chose, even till this day still, to like stay independent and learn ourselves. I liken it to the same as like having to water plants yourself. And without anyone's investment or without anyone coming in and kind of like dictating and reworking, like how the plant grows is up to us. We have to learn how to like water it, how it should be placed in natural light in order to like actually watch this thing grow before we can bring in other people to start caretaking for this plant too.
I think a lot of business owners can relate to what you're talking about. Scaling up and expanding your staff while staying true to your vision. It's like riding a speeding horse while juggling fine china. Not impossible, but challenging. You need to grow, but in a way that works for you. So I want to bring in someone who's faced similar challenges growing her own business and who's thought a lot about ways of finding the right people for the job. In fact, she's built up a thriving business helping others do just that. If you haven't heard about Mallory Brody, let me do the honors. Mallory Brody is the CEO and co-founder of Brigit. Brigit is a workforce intelligence solution company that is revolutionizing how the construction industry hires for and keeps track of ongoing projects. They're what you call a one-stop staffing shop for construction companies. In the past year, Brigit's workforce increased by over 55%. They started the year with just 58 team members, but by the end of the year, they had grown to 90 people. Through Brigit, Mallory has delivered effective and efficient contractors to many, many businesses, expanding their operations. Mallory, welcome to Build a Braver.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited for the conversation today.
Mallory, your business does feel quite unique in a very specialized industry. I'd love to hear more about that. So tell me, before you launched Brigit, did anything even exist like this in the construction tech space?
So there wasn't a whole lot of software in the construction space, largely because there weren't smartphones and tablets that were being used on job sites. So in 2013, when we started, that was really the beginning of a trend where you would actually find iPads and everyone on the site with smartphones. And so we knew that there was an opportunity to actually bring software to the job site. And we didn't have an idea. We just literally would go to the job sites and ask questions about what was challenging, what was painful, what was taking time, what was costing money. And now over the last 10 years, there's been a ton of investment in construction technology, and there's lots of players solving different problems in the space. But we were one of the early companies in the construction tech space for sure.
So is that what differentiates you from all the other companies in the space, that you were the OG?
I'd say we're differentiated for a few reasons. The first mover doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win in a market long term. One thing we've actually always prioritized is the design of our software. And it's an area in software development that I think a lot of companies can cut corners because it's expensive to produce good design and software. You have to go through many iterations and do a lot of user testing, have a really talented design team. And that is probably the number one reason why our customers choose our product, is because they can tell that the interface is really easy to use. So design has absolutely been one of our main differentiators, and recognizing that early and investing in it has been really important to our growth as well.
So your company's mission is taking more of a people-first approach. Can you say more about this strategy and how it informs the way you work with others?
So I think it's both internal, you know, the way we treat our team, and then also in the way we develop products. For product development, you know, going out and having those conversations with our customers, never losing touch of what's actually valuable to them, making sure that we're, you know, investing in what it is that it's a priority for their business, and just staying really connected with our customers. I think as companies get bigger, they lose sight of what their customers actually want and, you know, the value they see. And that's something that's just so critical for us.
You're listening to Business Class, Build It Braver, and I'm Vivian Kay. Today, our two troubleshooters are Mallory Brody, the CEO and co-founder of Bridget, and Sean Brown, the creative brain behind Curves by Sean Brown. We'll continue with these two in a moment. But first, here's a quick suggestion. If you're a small business owner, when this episode is over, go and check out American Express Business Class. It's a fantastic online resource that provides modern education through compelling stories, timely tips, and inspiring insights from business experts, industry leaders, and savvy entrepreneurs. It's basically a whole world of great ideas for today's business leaders. You can learn more at amex.ca/business class. Okay, let's get back to our conversation with Sean Brown and Mallory Brody. Now, there are various ways to customize staffing. Things like deciding if it's temporary or permanent position, a direct hire or a contractor, part-time versus full-time. And depending on the kind of business you run, you may need to take a more personalized approach. Because after all, hiring staff isn't like buying widgets. People are complex, and they come with a mix of personality traits and skills that can make or break their ability to perform a certain job. Mallory, if there's one thing you hear from small businesses looking to scale and increase staff, it's about understanding when to do it. It's kind of a big step for business owners, right? So how do you decide it's time to actually scale up and hire an employee or new employees?
So there's a couple ways that I would look at it. So typically when a company is thinking of hiring new team members, there's, you know, there could be many reasons, but two of the main buckets would be they can't keep up with demand. So there's so much demand for their product. And in order to successfully deliver the product, they need to hire more people so they can actually, you know, fulfill orders essentially. And then the other side is you actually need to really invest in the research and development or the creation of new products to then create that demand. And so I'd be curious to hear from you, Sean, when you're thinking about growing your team, is it a matter of keeping up or is it a matter of getting ahead of the product development and broadening the line of products that you have?
I think it's the first part. It's the resource allocation. It's getting people to do the task or to do the job or to be innovative in that area. Me, for example, I don't have time to be a graphic designer anymore. I just don't have the time. And so we believe that there's an opportunity to put the investment or put the resources behind someone else who we could not only just give an opportunity to, but they could actually grow with us, be good at it. That's when we've noticed that it's time to get someone else in office because we don't have time to pack rugs like we did 2 years ago.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're, you know, maybe giving up revenue opportunity by not growing the team at this point because you can't focus on, you know, new product innovation or the creative elements.
Right.
And it's awesome to hear that you've already been able to kind of put your finger on what parts of the business you could potentially delegate and pass off. So whether it's, you know, actually fulfilling the orders and packing up the rugs, for instance, or if it's the graphic design. So one thing I always encourage people to do before they hire is sort of make a list of all those tasks that you're doing on a daily basis. Which one could, you know, feasibly fit into a specific role like graphic designer? Is there enough work to actually fill a graphic designer's time full time, or is it a part time contract position that you need to consider? And then as soon as you can kind of come up with a clear role description, then it's time to hire for that role, delegate that so it's fully off your plate, and then you only have maybe three focus areas and not five focus areas anymore. So it sounds like, you know, from the beginning of our conversation, you know what your strengths are, you know what your weaknesses are, you're okay with delegating, but that is something else that I think business owners can run into where they don't know when to let go.
For sure.
When I'm thinking about someone like Sean, who's already built up an efficient core team, but is looking more at expanding and scaling his teams, I'd like to hear your thoughts on what teams to focus on expanding while you're scaling up.
So I definitely think it goes back to looking at your strengths and weaknesses and where are you getting a lot of energy and enjoyment from the business and where are you not. So in our early days, I was doing all of the bookkeeping, for instance, and that was something that, you know, I knew how to do. I could do it, but I didn't feel like it was the highest value place for me to be spending my time. And it was very clear and something that could be hired and delegated to someone else. So immediately by hiring a bookkeeper, then I had an extra 10 hours in my week to focus more on the growth of the business and more strategic components of the business. And then you just keep doing that bit by bit. What are the pieces of the role that you don't like doing, you're not energized doing, you're maybe not that good at doing, that someone else could do a better job at, or you're out of your comfort zone? That's another reason that we've hired people. There's something that, you know, I realize I'm not an expert in. I know it's really important for the business, but I don't have time to learn that new skill. And so could we hire someone who has been at a business larger than ours? They've already learned these lessons and we don't need to learn every single lesson for the first time. And so some advice I got from one of our early mentors was, as soon as you can hire someone that can do the job 70% as well as you can, it's time to delegate and it's time to let go.
Sean, you're looking to expand beyond your core team. So where exactly are you experiencing the biggest challenges in the process?
I just think deciding if we need to be jumping the gun, like basically if we're going to take a train or a plane, that's all. Do we want to expedite the process of growing this thing quicker with outside investment or funding? Or do we want to bet on ourselves and do it take our time? That's really the only thing, is just deciding. Because if we do the investment thing, like we've already declined outside investment when the partner just didn't feel right, like we're feeling that out. What's the actual best route to take here? Like, do we just take the next 3-4 years and grow this thing ourselves? Like, art comes first in any business I'm doing. That's always been it's been to my detriment when I've been younger.
Right.
But now it's something that I'm not going to compromise. Like, art comes first. So it just really is a matter of how quick or how slow we want to get there.
That's what I was going to ask you, Sean. Like, does speed matter in the market you're operating in? Like, is there a threat of a competitor, you know, taking one of your concepts and scaling it faster than you? Like, does speed to market help your success, or could it possibly hurt the potential of your company being successful?
It's more so like a CD rug, for example. They've been bit now, like we've seen other people doing them. But I think the thing is to keep your foot on the gas with ideation and innovation, and the space that we're playing in, there's so much room for it to grow. There wasn't really much bridge between the person who's into sneakers and the person who's looking for a new couch. And that's like obviously changing with things like a global pandemic, where now people are very much concerned with the space that they occupy. So we're almost in like such a new area of industry where there are really no rules anymore, you know? So I think the speed thing is just being able to stay innovative.
One thing I like to do is almost write sort of like a memo, but it could be, you know, it could just be bullet points or just like a message to yourself of, you know, if you look out 1 year from now and you write two different versions of what your story could be if you were to hire a bigger team or not hire a bigger team. And so what would your business look like a year from now if you stayed at the exact same size, the same sort of amount of production, the same amount of innovation? And when you read that story back to yourself, do you feel excited by that? Or when you write the other story, which is, you know, we add 5 or 10 people to our team, these are the new partnerships we were able to create, these are the new sales channels, this is what our product portfolio looks like, is that a more exciting company to you a year from now? And sometimes just by actually putting pen to paper and really defining what each of those paths look like, it can help bring a little bit of clarity to which direction makes the most sense.
Mallory, what would you say to any business owner, you know, someone like me, who is looking to pivot and expand their target market?
I always hear from every business owner that just HR, managing people, ultimately takes up a ton of their time. And it's just, you know, it's complicated. It's when you have a small team and you're all sitting around the same table. Right now it's virtual, but, you know, all sitting around the same table every day, you're just naturally aligned because you're overhearing each other's conversations. And then it's pretty amazing how when you're 15 people, 20 people, the amount of time you have to spend communicating and making sure that people are aligned and engaged in the business is an incredible amount of effort. And so, Sean, I know you're really interested in focusing on the creative side. So maybe it's one of your business partners on more the operation side. And like, are they willing to be essentially like the chief communicator of the business, or who's going to do that? Because to get 15 or 20 people aligned is very different, and you have to be very deliberate about it compared to having, you know, 6 people where you can all be on the same page.
We have to talk about another type of working pattern that's become popular, especially lately. I'm talking about working remotely. So, Mallory, when does a business owner determine if it's time for a local or remote hire?
Yeah, so I think it really depends on, you know, the type of company, the industry you're operating in, what the role is of the person. I've definitely heard from our team that anyone that's in more of a creative role and they used to be brainstorming together and whiteboarding together, they've found that remote is really difficult. And so the ideal scenario is to be able to at least sometimes be able to get together in person and have those more creative sessions. Whereas there's a lot of other roles, potentially in finance, for instance, where you're entering data into the accounting software and it's not as collaborative, and those roles tend to not need to be in person as much. You really have to look at the individual job functions and which ones really benefit from being in person and which ones does it not matter. And then the other thing I would look at is just the talent pool and where can you find the best talent? And sometimes that's not in your backyard, and that sometimes you have to go to other cities.
Mallory, what final thoughts do you have for Sean?
I mean, I think it's such an exciting business and, you know, we're not in the creative world, but I think you're doing an amazing job. And I would just go back to being incredibly deliberate and specific about the next few team members that you hire, because whatever that initial foundation is for your company really sets the tone for the next 10 or 20 hires that you're going to make. So it is a time to be thoughtful. They say hire slow, fire fast, and definitely something that I would keep in mind as you consider whether to grow your team or not.
Yeah, this was a great conversation. And I think that regardless of what industry we're in, like, you can get game from anyone, you know? So I took a lot away from this conversation, so I appreciate the things that you were saying and sharing.
And I'm excited to go and buy a rug. They look awesome.
Right?
It's been amazing being part of this conversation and to learn all about Mallory Brody's passion that is paying off in the construction tech space and her company's rapid growth. And Sean, great to connect with you. I can't wait to see where you take your creativity next with Curves by Sean Brown. Thanks to you both for coming on Build It Braver and sharing your business stories and insights.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure meeting you, Mallory.
Nice to meet you, Sean. Good luck.
Thank you.
So my takeaways from this episode, you know, staffing has always been a challenge. I know when I started my business, one of the first hires that I made was for an accounting because I looked at my strengths, I looked at my weaknesses, and I was not good at accounting. So it was one of the first people I hired. And then I hired someone to do fulfillment to help me pack those packages so I could work on the business as opposed to working in the business. We've learned that staffing is not a one-size-fits-all. You need to determine and look at what your strengths and weaknesses are and find a team or people smarter than you to help support that. Another takeaway, talent is all over. You might find that the best graphic designer lives in Saskatoon. So don't be afraid to look beyond your backyard. I mean, that's the benefit of hiring remote workers. If ever there was a time to get creative with hiring, it's now. If you've liked what you've heard, I hope you'll subscribe so you'll never miss another episode. And don't forget to tell your friends about us. We business owners need to stick together. Don't forget to go to American Express Business Class online to find all kinds of valuable resources and suggestions. And on the podcast, we've got more incredible business mentors coming your way. So keep checking out the show. I'm Vivian Kay, and thanks again for listening to Business Class, Build It Braver by American Express. And may you continue to prosper.